This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with you yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Now, folks, in just a couple of minutes, it's interesting. People seem to take very little interest in this topic. But in just a couple of minutes, I mean, as if to suggest it has nothing to do with them, right? What's interesting to note is we're going to have Dan Pilla, the tax man, Dan Pilla, online with us in just a couple of minutes, because your government is proposing a bill to double the size of the IRS. If things weren't bad enough, friends, things are getting harder. And, friends, again, this is one of those things that I continuously warn the people. Prevention is better than cure. Here we go. The judgments are going to find, and they're going to fall harder, and they are going to find us out one way or another, friends. Again, we're going to have Dan Pilla, the tax man. He's one of my favorite people, too, by the way. He's a great guy. Dan Pilla, the tax man, is going to be online with us, and he's going to expose this bill that's being proposed right now concerning the doubling of the size of the IRS. Yes, I'm not making it up. I just want to make clear. Now, listen, friends, yesterday after the radio show, because we don't fly anymore, at least until things get back to normal. And my normal is what it's always been, so I'm not looking for a new normal. My normal is going to go back to the old path, not the new ones. The Bible's clear when it says we're not supposed to be given to change. Therefore, we're not going to be given to that change. We're going to hold to the ever and unending changes concerning the principles in which we have been founded. So we're going to hold to those in ever-changing times concerning those principles. Jeremiah 6:16, read it when you get a moment. But I want to let you know that after the show yesterday, we drove for 13 hours. So we're in Michigan today. We'll be preaching Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Michigan. And then on Sunday, we'll be preaching in Ohio, which is 7 hours away from where we're going to be at on Saturday. And then we are going forward to Pigeon Forge because we're going to be doing some stuff with Alan Keyes in studio, former U.S. ambassador. In Pigeon Forge, and then we also have another event set up in Knoxville, Tennessee as well. Friends, we are out here doing this stuff, Luke 19:10, because that's what's been commanded of us. And I want to tell you, friends, when the Lord gives commands, do keep in mind they are not suggestions. And we do what we do out of gratitude for what God did through Jesus Christ and redeeming us back unto himself through him and through his blood as the propitiation of the sins of the world, just for the record. Now, friends, we got much to do. We've got much to cover. Dan's going to be up with me again in just a couple of minutes. And I want to drive you over to sonsoflibertymedia.com real quick. Subscribe, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Subscribe. Go to the right side of the page. Again, we're on the road broadcasting live from Michigan right now, so we don't have certain function. But with that said, go to sonsoflibertymedia.com. Subscribe. Go to the right side of the page. As you click on the right side of that page, friends, what you'll find is social media platforms. Again, go to Before It's News as well. Before It's News on the social media platform that's available, and join us on Top Chat. If at any time you'd like to call in, stick to the topic, And, again, we're going to have Dan Pella with us, and we'll do our best to get to you. That number is 1-866-582-9933, 1-866-582-9933. Now, folks, if this is the first time listening to the sonsofliberty.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head, period, okay? The Bible is the rock upon which the republic rests. That's where things are at. I want to get you over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. Just wrote this article this morning. Anybody paying attention to the things that they've been ignoring for too far too long in this country, friends? Because it's now beginning to happen on a global scale. At the beginning of this pandemic, we told you, what's the pill in the jam? With a question mark, of course. But we told you the same people that are selling you the virus are the same ones selling you the vaccination. Well, we can see what's happening to smaller countries right now, like Israel, like that of the UK, like Australia, where the governments are coming in with unconstitutional edicts and forcing compliance and corralling the people into having their freedoms back if you do only what you're told by those said governments. Friends, I'm here to tell you, I didn't receive my rights from the government. Therefore, I am not asking them for my rights back. Matter of fact, rights are forfeited, okay? They're forfeited. They're given up. They're not taken away. If you want to remain a free people, regardless of what country you're in, you have to go over to 1 Timothy 6:12. You have to fight the good fight of faith, and that applies to every single one of us. Thomas Jefferson said the price for liberty is eternal vigilance, and that's exactly right, eternal vigilance, and it's where we're at today. But back to the article on sonsoflibertymedia.com, friends, it's interesting that headlines came out yesterday, and of course, you heard not one word about what's taking place there, not one word as to what's taking place to the mainstream media as to what's taking place in Israel. Did you know that the Israeli vaccine holocaust, the Israeli people are calling it the vaccine holocaust? I brought this up in the past. Now it's coming full-fledged manifest, friends, as to the intent. Now they're being told by Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu, friends, who took the shot on television, right, or so we're told, he's basically offering the people back in Israel their freedoms if only they take the vaccinations. Now this is happening now. This isn't stuff that we're jumping out there with concerning speculation. No, not in any sense of the word. It's now beginning to happen. It's interesting, when I was writing this article, friends, the mainstream media reported that 25% of the people in Israel were refusing to take the vaccination. I'm here to tell you again, once again, they're lying. They're minimizing it. They want you to believe that everybody's getting their shot. Everybody's looking forward to it. It's the cool things to do, right? The real numbers are 75% of the people in Israel are refusing to take the vaccination. So what does the Prime Minister Netanyahu do, friends? He takes the shot on national television in his prospective country. And then what does he do? He turns around, he creates, friends, unlaw through more unconstitutional edicts in his prospective country and begins to force mandate mask wearing, and the list goes on. Then they offer the people in Israel, if you want things to go back to normal, you're going to have to get your vaccination, and then we're going to give you a green card so things do go back to normal. If you want to understand why countries all over the world are defying governments right now concerning the pandemic, you better understand this is exactly why, because they're becoming educated as to the real issues here. We'll be right back.
It was William Booth who founded the Salvation Army that said, "I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without generation, politics without God, and heaven without hell." It was also the same William Booth who said, if you want to change the future, then you're going to have to trouble the present. Well, we here at the Sons of Liberty have always been a troubler of the present to preserve our future for generations to come. And you can be a part of it too. Go to sonsoflibertyradio.com and click on the Spread the Word button, where you can join us in taking part in winning this nation for Christ by becoming a son or daughter of liberty. You can also make a one one-time donation as well by clicking the Donate Securely button on our landing page. We cannot do this apart from you. We are all together in this fight to win America back unto Christ and restore us back to the foundations that made us great. Go to sonsoflibertyradio.com today.
As you listen to the show today, you're probably thinking, how can I be a part of changing culture and restoring this country for our posterity? Well, we at the Sons of Liberty have an answer for you. Pick up the phone and call radio stations in your hometown. Tell them you want to hear the Sons of Liberty on your AM and FM stations. Help us multiply the message that we deliver to the nation every day. And equip your community with the truth that is protecting our liberty for generations to come. Remember, we can do this together. Ready to set brush fires of freedom in the minds of men? Well, start your engines with some high-octane truth-telling on the Sons of Liberty Morning Show. We'll bring you news and commentary from a Christian worldview using the Bible and the Constitution. Not to see who's on the right or on the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. Get on the inside track every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 8 a.m. Eastern on sonsoflibertymedia.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Liberty Bradley Dean broadcasting live out of Michigan, doing the stuff, friends. We are partaking with the call, with the people, which is our payday here concerning Luke 19:10, Mark 16:15. The list goes on and on and on and on. Now, as I said, we have a special guest. I had actually called the gentleman that you're going to listen to in just a couple minutes here. His name is Dan Pilla. And I noticed that he had just published something about the IRS wanting to double the size of their function. And so with that said, I called him up real quick and I said, Dan, I just seen your article in so many words. Maybe I didn't tell him that, but that's what I just noticed. And I noticed that the government was trying to pass a bill to double the size of the IRS. Double trouble coming, right? So I called him up and I just said, well, listen, we had a couple words. And I just said, listen, this is good radio right now. So why don't we just get you on the radio tomorrow so you can kind of convey to the people as to what is, in fact, happening right now. So without further ado, friends, welcome our friend Dan Pilla. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty, Dan. How are you, my friend?
I am well, Bradley. How are you doing, my friend? It's good to talk to you. It's been a while.
It has. And as usual, every time we're on this trip, I think of Dan Pilla. And I thought of you again yesterday, and it's interesting because right before I actually got onto the road, you actually sent out an email talking about how the IRS wants to double the size of their function and whatever that may be. And I'm going to ask you some serious questions after we get into the meat and bones concerning the content of this conversation. But I want to say this really quick, Dan. I hear your commercials all the time on GCN. And I'm broadcasting sure. 140 different cities across the country, as well as 53 countries. And every time I hear that commercial, I always say at the end of your commercial, Dan Pilla is a good guy. I really do like Dan Pilla. And I don't say that about a lot of people, but Dan, you're one of those guys that I think you're a good guy. I'm really glad that we met, and I'm really happy that we have you on the radio today. So again, welcome to the show.
Well, it's my pleasure, Bradley, and thank you for those comments. I do appreciate it. And I got to tell you, too, Bradley, I'm telling you, I thank God for the work that you do, you and Stephanie and your team, and you guys are doing such an important work. It's just so critical, and I just tell you, I can't appreciate it more.
Cool. Well, vice versa, I'm really glad that we have the time together today. So with that, let's get to it. When we hear the commercials, Dan, we always hear that you're the tax man that beat the IRS. Can you go ahead and share with our listeners real quick as to how that played out, how you did beat the IRS real quick?
Well, yeah. Well, let me tell you how I got started, Bradley. I got started dealing with the Internal Revenue Service in the late 1970s as a result of problems my father had with the IRS. He had a business here in our hometown of St. Paul, Minnesota, got behind on his employees withholding taxes, and then in 1974, the IRS shut him down. They padlocked the doors. They auctioned the equipment off for a couple of cents on the dollar, and then in late 1970, 78, 77, 78, somewhere in there, they turned their attention to our family home, Bradley, and they tried to seize and sell it for the back tax liability. And that's when I got involved. I came home one day, and my mom was sitting at the kitchen table with a letter from the IRS in her hand, and she hands it to me and says, "What do you make of this?" And I read it, and I said, "Well, it looks like they're going to try to seize the house." And she said, "What do we do about it?" Well, of course, I didn't know what to do about it. I was just a kid at the time. But what I did do is I went over to the local law school law library, and I started fumbling around in the law library, in the Internal Revenue Code in particular. And Bradley, I didn't even know what I was looking for, but I literally stumbled on to an area of the tax code that deals with taxpayers' rights issues and limits the power of the IRS. And I start reading in this code section, and I didn't get six pages into it and discovered that the IRS was proceeding illegally to seize my mother's home. And so I did what any 18-year-old would do under the circumstances. I sued the IRS. I pasted together a little Mickey Mouse lawsuit based on the information I found in the law library, and I sued the IRS. And before I knew it, I found myself in a federal courtroom in Minneapolis in front of a judge, federal judge, and the IRS flew an attorney in from the Justice Department in Washington to have my case thrown out. And Bradley, I stood up in front of the judge and I said, "Look, judge, the law says this and they're trying to do something different and they shouldn't be allowed to get away with it." And I sat down and it was about that polished an argument. I mean, there just wasn't much to it. And the DOJ attorney stood up and he starts blathering on about court cases this and code sections that. And I didn't know what this guy was talking about, and I'm not sure he did either. But he was going on. And when he was finished, the judge looked at him and pointed at me and said, "He's right." And he slammed the gavel. And I thought, well, this is easy. You know, and so I stopped the IRS, and I've been stopping them ever since. I've been in this business now over 40 years. I've helped tens of thousands of people all across the country with every kind of tax problem you can imagine and a few that you probably can't imagine. And I've been able to help people in every walk of life.
Amen. Amen. You're just one of those guys, Dan, that didn't know you could get the job done, and God used you to get the job done. And those are usually the ones that get the job done are the ones that didn't know that they could. So I'm sitting here just cheesing, listening to everything that you're saying even now. Have you ever seen that documentary with Aaron Russo? He's not with us any longer, but Aaron Russo actually had a conversation with the chairman from the IRS. And one of the questions that Aaron Russo asked him, and I'm asking you now, Dan Phillip, is he asked the chairman, "What is the tax code?" The question I have for Dan Pilla, what is the IRS tax code?
Well, what the code is, Bradley, is the body of law that's passed by Congress, signed by the president, with respect to the internal revenue of the United States. And so we're talking about the income taxes, employment taxes, estate and gift taxes, generation skipping taxes, excise taxes of every description. These are all embodied into what we would call the Internal Revenue Code. That's what it is. It's codified as Title 26 of the United States Code. We commonly refer to it as the Internal Revenue Code, but it's actually Title 26 of the United States Code. The code, Bradley, now, and this is what is diabolical about the Internal Revenue Code. I mean, you talk about a confusing tax law, and we've all heard the phrase that, you know, taxes are confusing and so on and so forth. But let me quantify this for you. The tax law now consists of more than 4 million words that was changed more than 5,900 times just since 2001, and that doesn't even include all of the changes that we saw come down the pike during 2020 and the changes that we're being treated to here now in 2021. There were hundreds of tax law changes in 2020. The Consolidated Appropriations Act, Bradley, that was signed December 27th of 2020 was 50,000 593 pages long. Now, not all that had to do with taxes, but a good deal of it did. And now the most recent law, the American Rescue Act, that was signed by President Biden just last week, that's another 650 or 70 pages of information, and that's just about all tax law. So, I mean, it is to the point now where the confusion is so intense that the number one problem that the vast majority of Americans have with the IRS is the inability to understand what their obligations are and how they're supposed to comply.
Exactly. And I think that's what people are afraid of more than anything. They don't know what to do when they get a letter from the IRS. They're scared to death. And I guess that's why what begs the question here is when I ask you about the tax code, what law is it that they're referencing? And by the way, if it worked in the past, why is it that they have to continuously change the code, as times roll out here? As you
let's drill into that, because that's a doggone good question. Why do they have to keep changing the tax law? The number one reason the tax law is complicated, that is to say, the number one reason it is changed on an ongoing basis, is because the fundamental principle of the tax laws has been changed radically over the last 60 years. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, Bradley, gives Congress the power to lay and collect taxes for three very narrow purposes. Number one is to provide for the debts of the nation, to pay the bills of the nation, right? So you got bills for office space and so on. To pay the bills of the nation, that's easy enough. To provide for the national defense, that's simple enough. And then the third area, and this is the area that's been perverted, is to provide for the general welfare. Now, the definition of general welfare is the broad well-being of the entire populace. That phrase has been twisted and contorted to mean anything Congress wants it to mean. All right. And so what that translates to, how that works in practice now, is that Congress uses the tax code as a means of picking winners and losers in the marketplace, to penalize behavior they think they should penalize and to reward behavior they think people should engage in. All right. So the tax code has become the means by which Congress doles out quote-unquote social justice on an ongoing basis through the tax laws. The problem is the definition of social justice changes every 2 years. And so that's why everything is so confusing. If the tax code was used only for the legitimate purpose of raising revenue and nothing more, then it would be very simple. It would be very short. It would be 100 pages in length. People could comply in a matter of minutes and not hours and hours and hours, and there would be virtually no tax evasion. Now, you can't say there would be no evasion because there's always a criminal out there, right? But the fact of the matter is the number one driver of noncompliance, Bradley, and this is true across the board, the number one driver of noncompliance with the tax laws is complexity. The more people are confused by what they're supposed to do and are stymied by what they're supposed to do, the less likely they are to comply. That's just a fact of life.
Folks, we're talking.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Lawmakers are continuing to look into the surge at the southern border.
Secretary Mayorkas has inherited a department damaged by the previous administration and its failed Homeland Security policy.
Those are the words of Mississippi Democrat Benny Thompson, who opened a House hearing and noted the separation of illegal immigrant children from their families is cruel and inhumane.
I guess where they stand depends on where they sit.
Republican Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky Mitch McConnell speaking there on Fox News regarding the filibuster being removed in the Senate. The senator continues.
President Trump tried to get me to orchestrate the elimination of the filibuster for a number of years, even tweeted about it. I said, no, Mr. President, that's not in the best interest of the institution, and actually not in your best interest either. I said, no.
USA Radio News. President Biden is speaking about the deadly shootings at Atlanta area massage parlors.
I'm making no connection at this moment to the motivation of the killer. I'm waiting for an answer from, as the investigation proceeds, from the FBI and from the Justice Department.
A judge may unseal absentee ballots in a fraud investigation.
A judge in Georgia, Henry County Superior Judge Brian Amaro, is indicating that he may unseal Fulton County absentee ballots so a government watchdog investigation into claims of voter fraud in the November election can proceed. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported the case stems from a lawsuit by Garland Favorito, but the judge cautioned, I can't sign the order until such a time as I'm satisfied that the manner and method of review is reasonable. The judge is prohibiting Favorito's experts from revealing their work without permission from the court first. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Liberty Broadcasting Live, friends, from Michigan. We're going to be here for 3 days, preaching Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then we're driving 7 hours to Idaho, of course, because we're not flying. And we'll be preaching there on Sunday. Then we're driving up to Knoxville, Tennessee. And then we will be in Pigeon Forge. And by the way, also Spring Hill, as the calendar's filled up little by little. If you'd like to jump on board and have us come out and shake, rattle, and roll your particular city, your community, whatever the case might be, feel free to go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. You can see who we are, what it is that we do, and go ahead and book us. We're about 3 months out right now. That number is 1-866-233-0747, 1-866-233-0747. Again, if you want to check us out online, please go to sonsoflibertymedia.com. 13 to 15 articles every day posted there, including Dan Villa, our guest that we have on now. He also broadcasts. He also writes articles as well and contributes on sonsoflibertymedia.com. You go to the right side of the page, click onto it, join us on social media platforms, and or go over to beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com, the same thing over there. Click onto the social media platform and join us, and join Top Chat if you'd like. If you want to give us a call, please do. 1-866-582-9933, 1-866-582-9933. Folks, we're talking to Dan Pilla, the tax man, the Dan Pilla. And folks, if you'd like to get a hold of him, go over to Tax Freedom Institute, taxhelponline.com, taxhelponline.com. And I want to tell you, first and foremost, friends, if I didn't believe in what Dan is doing and who Dan is, I would not refer him in any sense of the word. And this guy's the real deal. And I'm, again, happy to have you here, Dan. I do have callers calling in, but before we start taking the callers and question, Dan, I do want to ask, basically at least tip into the conversation and the topic here, about how the bill that the government is now beginning to push forward concerning the doubling of the size of the IRS. Can you go ahead and give us an overview as to what that bill looks like and what it means?
Yeah, exactly. I can do that very quickly. This provision is part of Elizabeth Warren's proposal for a wealth tax. As you know, the leftist Democrats are looking to steal as much of American wealth as they possibly can, and it's going to start with a 3% wealth tax, which is really, Bradley, nothing more than an estate tax that the government is imposing on the richest Americans. The problem is they don't want to wait until people are dead, right? It's like the prodigal son going to his father and saying, I want my share of the estate right now. He didn't have the patience to wait till his father died. Well, that's what the leftist Democrats are doing right now. They want to steal the money while the people are still alive. As part of that bill, Warren proposes to double the size of the IRS. And when I say double the size of the IRS, I'm talking about funding, right? So the IRS's budget right now is about $11 billion a year and some change. She would add an extra $10 billion a year every year for the next 10 years to the IRS's budget, so a doubling of their budget, and not a doubling every year for 10 years, but double it from $11 billion to basically $21 billion, and then the next year $21 billion and so on through for the next 10 years. Now, what she wants to do is spend 70% of that additional money on law enforcement, not taxpayer education, not taxpayer assistance, not outreach, not any of the things that will help people comply. She wants to spend 70% of the money on grinding people into powder when they don't comply. So that's the essence of what's going on here, Bradley. And this has been introduced into the Senate. And so far, it was just introduced on March 2nd, I believe, is the day it was put in. And so it hasn't gone anywhere yet. But I'm telling you, Bradley, this is what these people have in mind, and this is what they're heading for. And whether they actually get an actual doubling or not remains to be seen. But the IRS is going to get massive amounts of money over the next few years.
Okay, I got a question for you with that. How is it that, well, let me ask you the question. What does noncompliance look like? I'm not a tax protester. I pay all my due taxes, and the list goes on, right? A whole plethora of taxes. Everywhere I go, I'm paying taxes. So what does noncompliance look like, and is this all being zeroed in on the good guys like every other thing that we're seeing from the government right now, zeroing in on those Christians, those constitutionalists, those pro-lifers, those Second Amendment lovers, so on and so forth? Does it apply to them? Is that what this is all being zeroed in on? Or is this really just going after those that are noncompliant and paying their taxes?
Well, I think it's broader than that. I think they're just going after everybody with a pulse, Bradley. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is the Internal Revenue Service is the only government agency that they both sides of the aisle, the only government agency both sides of the aisle really want to fund, because it is the government agency that gets the money, right? So whether you're a quote-unquote law and order Republican or a bleeding heart liberal that wants to give benefits to everybody with a pulse, they need the money to do it. And so the Internal Revenue Service is that agency that collects the money. So it's all about getting in people's face and squeezing them for more money. It's as simple as that. Now, to say that they're not going to attack Christian organizations, right-leaning organizations, is not accurate either, because and this is something that you and I didn't even get into, but I wrote an article that was published right after the Washington, D.C. Capitol riots that was based on a letter that Oregon Senator Ron Wyden wrote to the Treasury Secretary, wrote to the Commissioner of Internal Revenue Service, specifically asking the Internal Revenue Service to target right-wing conservative organizations, supposedly because they were involved in quote-unquote funneling dark money to these protesters in Washington. So they've already launched the attack on the right-wing Christian organizations. They've already launched it, and they're going to carry it out. There's just no question about it. Now, as far as what noncompliance is all about, it's real simple, Bradley. If you don't do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it and pay the taxes to the penny that you owe, that that's considered noncompliance. All right. Now, that's not necessarily criminal activity. All right. There's a difference between a crime and noncompliance. A crime involves a deliberate attempt on your part to evade or defeat the payment of your taxes. Noncompliance simply means that you fell into the one of the potholes or booby traps that are in the 4 million words in the Internal Revenue Code. That's all noncompliance means.
Yeah, this is insanity. I got a phone call coming in from Ohio, and Dan, I'm going to take him up really quick. I'm going to put you on hold. I got Emmanuel calling in from Idaho with a question with Dan. Thanks for calling in the Sons of Liberty Radio. What say you, my friend?
So I was curious. All right, so Cosby says there's only three things that the government can tax you for, such as defense and the bills the government has to pay along with the welfare. I was curious, well, since those are the only things, the three things they can tax for, is all the money they're sending to the foreign countries even legal? Like, clearly not.
No,
it's
right.
Unconstitutional.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Let me get back to Dan with that one, putting you on hold again. Dan, how would you respond to Emmanuel?
Well, that's a good question. And Emmanuel, I would suggest to you that it's unconstitutional. The problem is, what happens with foreign aid, particularly foreign military aid to governments, is the argument to Congress over the last, 100 years, well, not 100 years, but since World War II is really when U.S. started aggressive foreign aid, military aid to countries. The idea is that it's an element of national defense, that our national security is dependent on stabilizing these various countries out there in the world that are otherwise unstable, and so we need to help them do that. Okay, you can make a case for that, all right? Now, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but you can make a case for that. Now, on the other hand, this outpouring, this massive outpouring of welfare payments to foreign governments that pose no military risk to us, that is completely unconstitutional, in my opinion.
Okay. I mean, what do you say to that? I guess I have much to say about that, but Emmanuel, I'll go ahead and let you answer back to Dan.
Yeah, I thought as much. It was, the Constitution is
free
of the land.
What we see is the government acting out in so many different ways. They have their tentacles in so many different things that are unconstitutional. I guess what I would do is I would beg the question, of course, it's not constitutional. I mean, there's got to be an absolute. And by the way, is that not the reference in the purpose of law, then, is that we might have sound decisions in what we want? I mean, sound decisions in everything that we do. If it's unconstitutional, let's call it unconstitutional. And if it's unconstitutional, then they're acting outside of their scope of authority. And if they're acting outside of their scope of authority, when is it that our said representatives who have lost their place actually are held accountable by the people that they're supposed to serve?
Well, that's the $6 million question, Bradley. And the problem is the Congress of the United States these days hasn't seen anything that they think is unconstitutional. I mean, there's no better example, in my opinion, than the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act is manifestly unconstitutional. There just isn't any question about it. And the fact of the matter is the only way the Supreme Court saved the Affordable Care Act is the court deliberately changed the language of the law in order to argue that it was a tax, not a penalty. Otherwise, it would have been declared unconstitutional. But the court rewrote the law, Bradley. This is what we're up against, is people are unwilling to recognize the animal for what it is.
Okay, so then you're the tax man. Where does defiance become just in the sight of the courts? You did it. Others have done it. There's got to come a point where the American people, 330 million people, and I want to get into this in the next segment more so. I really want the rubber to hit the road here with me and you having this conversation. But where does it come to the point with the American people where they say no more and they begin to hold their said representatives accountable for all their unconstitutional implementations?
Well, that's the question. It requires action on people's parts, and before you can have action, you got to have education, Bradley. You got to know what you're talking about, know what you're doing. That's absolutely for sure. That's what makes your program and your work so valuable and so important, because action without education is just foolishness in my mind. So people have to step forward based on the information they have to put pressure on their elected officials to get this information, to get our country back on track.
Amen. Folks, got a quick break. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Robert from Cottage Grove, Wisconsin. A few years ago, I heard Bradley Dean in the Sons of Liberty radio show. I was immediately drawn to the show and ever since have been a dedicated listener. Bradley discusses the issues facing our country with a true and fearless passion. We have been truly blessed to listen to the radio show and I guarantee you will be as well.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
If you've been following the markets, then you know how huge the automation markets are becoming. Robotics, autonomous cars, and enterprise automation services are revolutionizing entire industries. The bottom line is that automation is powering the future. And you can find out which companies are leading the charge with your free subscription to Avid Biotech Stock Trends when you text the word trend to 48542. We've identified a cutting-edge company that's leading the industry in creating the next generation of robotics and automation. Get this cutting-edge intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device when you text the word TREND to 48542. Get ahead of the curve on robotics and automation industry leaders with your free research from Biotech Stock Trends. Text the word TREND to 48542. Text TREND to 48542. Text the word TREND to 48542.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
From Freedom Institute. Friends, I'm telling you, if you need some help, this is the guy to give a call to. He's there for you. He's a good guy. He might even buy you a cup of coffee. I don't know. You're going to have to ask Dan to do that. You want to check him out online, go to taxhelponline.com, taxhelponline.com. Dan, let's just be real candid here because I want to get to the nitty-gritty of all of this because I've asked you the question now, you know, when is it that the American people, the 330 million people, begin to take time and educate themselves out of gratitude to the men that sacrifice themselves in giving them the freedoms in which they have, who, with their hand up in the air, swearing to God, men, that they would uphold the Constitution of the United States, the enumerated laws found within. We see their posterity in so many different ways succumbing to the very things that they fought off in so many different wars throughout the history of the United States of America. When I say to you, what is the answer? And who's the responsible party? I do not, for the life of me, bring it back to myself, understand how 330 million people do nothing but complain about what they allow federal government, and I'm talking about trust, and I'm not talking about good government, how they allow a small portion to leave in the whole lump and destroy a future and a hope when it comes to our posterity. What say you?
Well, the short answer, Bradley, is it's growing out of ignorance. I mean, there's not one person in a thousand that can tell you what the three legitimate functions of the three legitimate purposes of federal taxation are under Article 1, Section 8. Not one person, I'll bet not one person in 3,000 can name those three things off the top of their head. People don't know what our Constitution says and what it means. All right, so that's number one. People got to get educated. Secondly, we got to stop taking politicians at their word. How many people vote out there without really truly digging into what these people stand for, what their background is, what they're all about, what their proposals mean, all right? That's the other thing that has to happen. The electorate has to educate themselves on who these people are and what they really stand for, and we got to stop voting for these people that promise to undermine our republic. All right, we've got a system of government that's established through our Constitution that protects, doesn't grant to, it protects the life, liberty, and property of its citizens. That's the fundamental function of government. Not to babysit you, not to be your grandfather, not to protect you from yourself and decide what you can or can't do in your life for yourself and your family. The function of government is to protect your life, liberty, and property through invasion by third parties, through force or fraud. That's what it's all about. And we don't, as a people, we don't understand that anymore. We think the government is supposed to take care of us. That's the disconnect, Bradley, that we got to correct through education.
Well, as they say, I believe it was Edmund Burke that said it, they'll only do whatever you let them get away with, and it's exactly what they're doing today. They're tearing down the Constitution and recreating it in their own godly images in so many different ways, and you can put that up against John 8:44. Another question, Dan. It was John Adams, the second president of the United States of America, that said that the church is called to be the moral compass of society. He said when that goes, it all goes. What we've seen over this last year concerning the allegiance that the church has shown more to the government than they have to God came to me as no surprise. But when we look at so many different issues, abortion, homosexuality, corruption in government, it first starts in the church. Therefore, the church is the responsible party for what we see out there. And what we see is the church chasing after their favorite politicians rather than after Jesus Christ, the way that our forefathers did back over 245 years ago. Who is the responsible party as to what's taking place in this country?
Well, you couldn't be more right, Bradley. We have a United States of America because of the church and what the church did in the 18th century as far as the American push for freedom is concerned. It was fostered by the church. It was backed by the church. Much of the intellectual ammunition for the fight was provided by the church. Certainly the moral and biblical standing for the fight was provided by the church. But now the church has abdicated its responsibilities. I'll tell you what, I lay the blame for this squarely at the church, Bradley. The church has a responsibility to educate the citizens of this country as to where rights come from, and they're not doing that. Rights come from God, they don't come from government. Now, the Declaration of Independence makes this abundantly clear. I alluded to it a minute ago. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator. Who gives us rights? The Creator gives us rights with certain inalienable rights. And among these are the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, read the right to property, right? That's what it means. And so the church's responsibility is to educate people concerning these facts. The church's responsibility is to educate people concerning the godly nature of free markets. The church, and on the other hand, we have seen this infiltration of socialism in our schools and in our churches to the point now, Bradley, and you probably know these numbers better than I do, but the last time I looked, about 70% of the people under 30 years of age believe that socialism is a better idea than capitalism. Where is this coming from, Bradley? It's coming from the schools, and it's coming from the church.
Well, that's right, and that's exactly why we started doing high schools, Dan, as you well know, about 23 years ago. That was right after Columbine High School. We noticed that the professors in the church were running from the schools, yet it was the professors that were in the church dropping their kids off to the 86th percentile. They were the ones dropping their kids off to be indoctrinated illegally by the federal government. So this should come as no surprise, especially seeing what they were taught all the way up until the early 1960s. And ever since then, now we have international baccalaureate, no child left unindoctrinated, Common Core. These are reading this indoctrinational scheme. And again, 86% of those that are sending their kids to public schools are Christians, patriots, and or conservatives. So what we're seeing today, Dan, is a whole lot of hypocrisy. And the kids, when they look at the church today, this is why they look at the older generation as an absolute reproach, because they didn't take the time to actually love on them indeed. They loved them, and they loved on them with their tongues and their mouths, but they failed in action, which is contrary to 1 John 3:18. But listen, Dan, I appreciate you, man. I'm so glad that you're out there. I do want to ask you one more question before you have to go here. When you are, because you're out there nationally just like I am, you're probably even out there internationally, I don't know. But I do know that what I see out there when it comes to the professed Christians in this country, there are so far and few between that are the real deal. It's almost frightening, but I don't put my trust there. But when you have online relations, when you have your interviews, when you're preaching at a local church, what is it that you're seeing out there in the American church today as well, firsthand experience?
Well, yeah, first of all, it's national for me, Bradley, not international for sure. My focus is tax laws, which are peculiar to the United States as far as my work is concerned. But your answer is correct. I do hundreds of radio shows every year and dozens of personal appearances just like you do. A lot of them in churches, not all of them, but a lot of them in churches. And the fact of the matter is I see people waking up. I mean, listen, as far as I'm concerned, Bradley, there's a remarkable difference between the people of the United States of America and the people in every other country in the world. Right now, this is not so true of our young people, although you're working to change that, thank God, but it's true certainly of our older generations. And that is this, the difference is this. Every other country in the world, those people are peasants, Bradley. They've lived under the thumb of government for not just generations, but in many cases for centuries, if not millennia. In the United States of America, we have patriots. The vast majority of people in this country, Bradley, know what freedom is. They've lived through freedom. They see those freedoms evaporating. And I'm telling you, through the grace of God, I believe those patriots are going to rise up and take back America for the glory of God and for the benefit of his kingdom. That's what I believe.
Amen. And again, just like yourself and myself, I didn't know that I couldn't do what I've done in public schools. I didn't know that I couldn't do the things that the Lord is getting done through me. And the Bible's clear when he says, limit not the Holy One of Israel. And I think it's more important right now, especially in our time, to be valiant for the truth. And I believe that's what we're seeing across the boards for those that are willing to take the call on, such as yourself. So, Dan Filla, I totally appreciate you, and I will talk at you soon. And again, thank you for jumping on in such a short amount of time and a request.
All right, my pleasure, Bradley. God bless you and your work. Say hi to Stephanie and the boys for me. God bless you.
I'll do it. Thank you, man. I totally appreciate you. Bye. Guys, if you want to jump online, go to taxhelponline.com. Again, I really can't overemphasize, and I'm not, this isn't for Dan. This isn't for, what I can do and getting kudos or accolades from Dan. I'm not doing this for Dan. I'm telling you, if you're having an issue with your taxes, Dan's a good guy. We referred to him over to one of our friends in California about a year and a half ago, and he called me back, the individual that was having tax problems. He said Dan was great, and I know him personally. So if you do have any issues with taxes, you have anything that needs to be resolved, or you need him to play the mediator between you and the IRS, give him a call. TaxHelpOnline.com, TaxHelpOnline.com. We're broadcasting again from Michigan Live. We'll also be broadcasting live from Michigan in just 23 hours. So we love what we do, and we'll talk to you 23 first.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Youngevity. Teamgaday.com.